from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Wednesday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on News Talk ZB in a sillier package. Oh, it's going to be Trump 2020. That was announced today. Teacher pay. Will a massive pay rise attract more teachers, or is it still a shit job? The diesel ban seems to be having the reverse effect, and IAG turns out that they're not really that big a fan of New Zealand stuff after all. But before any of that, Simon Bridges, he's the new guy.
So two ballots and Bridges wins, not really a surprise, but possibly a mistake, and if not a mistake, a real risk. More on that shortly. The deputy. That seemed to catch some by surprise. I got no idea why. The Bennett issue, as I mentioned earlier, appeared to be based around the fact that she was somehow involved in the Peter super saga and she was going to be punished for it. Why? If National thinks their future relies on sucking up to Peters, they may as well pack up and try another profession now. Peter's days of playing one off against another, they're over. Peter's hung his hat with Labor. He lives and dies with Labor. He's never going National. That was laid bare post-election, so there's no need to appease him. Therefore, no point in making it an issue with Bennett. Bennett, at one point, should have been the leader. I suggested it when Key quit. Joyce or Bennett, I said at the time. And one can't help but wonder how different matters might be now if that had happened. But she's an excellent deputy, a brilliant MP, very good in the House, a female, has wit, a natural charm, and oh my God, I'm starting to talk myself into wanting her to be the leader again. But at the very least, she deserves to hold her job if that's what she wants. Bridges, though, boy, short of Mitchell winning yesterday, he is your biggest risk. He could turn, I suppose, into a Key. Most of us wrote Key off as a great leader early on. How could all that nerdiness turn into charm? But it did. If Bridges can pull off the same trick, good luck to him. But he's been around, I would have thought, long enough to show signs of it, and I've yet to see it. His speech yesterday was classic prefect, all upward inflection and idealistic cliche. He allegedly represents change in a party that's actually very successful. He has to carve out a persona from a base of actual success. I mean, new leadership's easier when your party's a mess. You've been pummeled in the polls and there's only one way forward and that's up. But here, he's got the keys to the Bentley and he's looking for a booster cushion. However, here's the critical bit. He needs to reshuffle in a way that doesn't cause factions. He needs to keep a lid on the disappointed and he needs to show somehow that what the caucus sees in him but I don't is going to get up the government's grill and rattle them. No pressure then.
I tell you what, you do have to say, it seems to have been quite an efficient process. It's only really sort of taken a week and a half to sort all this out, if that. Meanwhile, the Greens still seem to be deciding on a co-leader. Have they got one of those yet? Haven't really heard. And nobody's tried to kill anybody, which always seems to be what happens in the Labour Party. So, yeah, they haven't got it all wrong. Now, Donald Trump, he's up for another turn, apparently.
As we mentioned earlier on in the program, Trump is announcing, has announced this morning, he's running again in 2020.
But I think that the case that the president has to make, that the campaign will have to make, is going to be a lot easier because of the great work that he's done so far in this first year. We have a booming economy, which unemployment you have at a near two-decade low. You saw consumer confidence hit a new high today.
This is Raj Shah, by the way, who is the deputy White House parrot.
We have ISIS being crushed. You have the remaking of the federal judiciary. I mean, the president went on for well over an hour at CPAC because he has so much good news to talk about.
Indeed, and not only that, and that was before he said he'd run in and save everybody without a gun. So he's virtually a superhero. So he's good to go for 2020, the announcement coming from the White House this morning.
Yeah, quite the discussion amongst various satirical comedy programs about the old Donald running into the school shooting situation with heel spurs and all the rest of it. And then, of course, the accompanying discussion about whether it's appropriate to be making fun of him saying that, given the... meanwhile, with schools back here, teachers want to be paid more so they can have more teachers.
Teachers have been unhappy forever. I've been talking about this, covering this, teachers and education for 35 years in this game. They've never been happy. They've always wanted more money, which brings us to the real issue. Money is not happiness. Money alleviates pressures and stresses. Money gives you a sense of reward and satisfaction, but it will not make you happy if you don't love what you do. It never ceases to amaze me how people can enter a teacher's training program and come out and be disappointed and dismayed and unhappy. What the hell did they think they were getting into? Why is what they see in the classroom such a surprise? But to the unions and their hell-bent attitude towards the workplace, every teacher on the same experience must get paid the same. And it's that intransigence that has seen the sector in the bind it is. By insisting that everyone's equal, the bill for the wages goes through the roof, which means as sure as night follows day, the overall wage over time goes down because you know that a 3% rise costs hundreds of millions of dollars, so you offer 1% because everyone has to get it whether they deserve it or not. Far less the great teachers getting what, in all reality, is an insulting income for what they bring to kids' lives. The weak are protected, the incompetent are rewarded beyond their skill, the incentives to do well vanish. And as a result, the value and prestige of the profession ends up where it is. At some point, and it won't be now because the unions control this current government, but this reality has to be faced. You want good teachers? Encourage them. Look after them. Differentiate between them and the ones that aren't as good. Do what every other workplace, industry and profession in the world does. Pay good people good money, not everybody bad money.
It's certainly true. I can't think of too many jobs that are worse than having to spend time with horrible, horrible, horrible children every day, all day. I say pay them all the money. They can have all my money. Just leave me enough for bourbon and melting cheese on things and a Netflix subscription. That's really all I want. Maybe enough to top up my phone. Meanwhile, they're banning diesel left, right and centre in Europe, but is it working?
Now, the diesel story, here's what happened yesterday. Fiat Chrysler, they're going to ditch the diesel engine by 2022. That's Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler, Maserati, Alfa Romeo, Fiat, etc. Overnight, a German court has ruled in favour of allowing a couple of major cities to ban the diesel cars or engines. This is Stuttgart and Dusseldorf. And the thing about court cases, of course, they set precedent. It'll clear the way for other cities. This has got major problems for Angela Merkel because she's tight as with the motoring industry. So they've got all sorts of problems. Now, here's the really, really interesting thing about the story. There's been apparently this global backlash against diesel ever since Volkswagen cocked it up in 2015 with that scandal. And everyone now apparently hates diesel and diesel is dying. But what's the result of diesel dying? Everyone's gone and bought a petrol engine. So what's happened to carbon emissions globally? Through the roof. Up through the roof. First rise in international carbon emissions since 2000. So in other words, we're now going backwards because diesels typically emit 20% less CO2 than petrol cars. But when you don't like a diesel anymore, you go for the petrol. And when you use the petrol, suddenly your CO2 goes up. So in trying to save the world, here's the irony, in trying to save the world and ban all your dirty diesels, they're doing exactly the opposite. How ironic is that?
I'm not sure where Huawei's smartphone-powered self-driving Porsche fits into all this. I'm pretty sure that's petrol-powered, the car, not the phone. But surely, can we not just send one of our virtual avatars to wherever we need to be and not have to travel anywhere physically anymore? Well, it can't be that far off from that. Mind you, if something goes wrong with it, will we be left talking to an offshore call centre?
Have we or have we not learnt our lesson about offshoring? I thought that we'd learnt our lesson about offshoring, but I note that IAG, who is a very big insurance company, they own State, AMI, NZI, Lumley, they are looking, they're going to send some jobs overseas to keep the premiums affordable. This is their argument. If we don't send the work overseas, the premiums can't be affordable. The union, they're looking apparently at 160-odd jobs, disestablishment of the jobs, a further three departments apparently going through the process called baselining, where the work was had a look at to see if it could be done offshore. Am I right in saying, and so here's your problem for a company like AIG. When they say your premiums will go up if we don't offshore, would you be prepared to pay higher premiums if you kept the jobs onshore? Theoretically, people will go, yes, yes, yes. In reality, the answer is probably no. So from a business point of view, they're probably doing the smart or right thing. But surely am I not right in saying that I have never personally, in my life with various companies, ever, had a good experience. One of the things the unions are worried about is privacy. That wouldn't be my major concern. Service would be. I have never had a decent experience with anybody offshore when you're dealing with a local company. When you ring a local company with the expectation of getting local service and you end up, and you know you end up offshore because the phone goes funny and then a strange voice with a weird accent, barely English, starts to deal with you. Name me a single time ever anyone ever has had a good experience and thought, oh, gee, that's improved. I'm glad they've gone offshore.
If by good experience, do you mean one of those cool conversations where you end up saying, can I speak to your supervisor, please? That's always fun.
I mean, really, I thought we'd learnt that lesson.
Am I the only one who thinks it's weird that this is the company that's the sponsor of the All Blacks, the big, you know, IAG on the All Blacks jerseys, and they're taking jobs out of New Zealand? Is that not a, not, there's no relation there? Okay. I'm Glenn ZB. That was the re-wrap for Wednesday. See you back here again with Thursday's one tomorrow. No jersey in that package, but just more astute observations.